Good morning. It's Sunday, September 27th.
The other morning, I had an experience and where I understood something that we should have probably all understood a long time ago. And the message that I was told to give to my loved ones was really simple. Hear the word of the Lord. That's all we're supposed to tell them. And what else we do is to figure out the scriptures, use the scriptures to show people why to listen to the word and why not to turn it off. Just keep listening to it. And because people get offended by the word of God and they quit listening to it. There's two scriptures. I'll see if I can find him here. I can find him. I know where they're at. But what is it, Matthew? Matthew 13:21. If you're not in the right chapter, then don't help. It's a section of the parable of the sower. And he that received the seed in stony places, in verse 20, the same as he that hears the word, and with joy receives it, and yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a little. He hears the scripture for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. And I don't mean he's offended necessarily at the word, but he quits listening to it. Mm-hmm. And we can see from the parable of the sower, that that's a common problem. People listen for a while and then they quit. And as we have seen over the years, I have witnessed the same thing. You know, people have been really gung-ho for the scriptures, and then the next thing we know, they stop. And I've also seen the effects of the scripture right away by somebody that is gung-ho, you know. And I'll use one as an example. He'll probably hear it, which is Steve Britton. And when we come out and we shared with him what we were doing, and he took the scriptures and he turned in the book of Matthew. He said that by the time he got to the 12th chapter of Matthew, he was converted. His life was changed. And I thought, why was it before? It's because there was something that God was telling us that was necessary to change our lives. And I can't say names, but I'm watching right now some phenomenal things that are happening. And you know what? The thing that could mess it up was me. Mm-hmm. Let the word do its work. Mm-hmm. And stay out of it. Mm-hmm. Except there are some scriptures that we can know, that we need to know, so that we can help people to keep on listening to the scriptures. You know, like the Psalms 1, that's a good one. And we can memorize it. And, you know, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the way of sinners, nor stands in the seat of the scornful, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the word of God, and on that word does he meditate day and night. That kind of gives us an idea of what God looks at. Blessed is the one that does that. Or Jesus says, if you will continue in my word, then you're my disciple. Now, if you continue my word, and then you'll know the truth. And if you continue my word, you'll be made free. Is that a reason to be continuing in the word of God?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But people don't know that. They don't know that the scriptures support it. And I was thinking about Ezekiel 37 this morning. It doesn't tell us that they continued to listen to the word of God. And they didn't have the New Testament. And we don't even know that it's not for a time yet to come. You know, we don't know what exactly what that means. But Ezekiel saw the dry bones, and God told him, he says, speak to these bones and tell them to hear the word of the Lord. And so I'm guessing that it was kind of a little more so of what we are beginning to understand. You know. Meditate on it day and night if you continue in the word. You know, I think that that's more of what they were doing, but I can't prove it. But anyway, it says that the bones begin to come together, but there was no breath in them. There was no life in them. But and it said that they were the whole house of Israel. And then God told Ezekiel, he said, now prophesy to the winds from the four corners of the earth. And he struck him with the Holy Spirit. Come and breathe upon these that were slain. And so, anyway, so he prayed, he prophesied, and the wind came, and the next thing he knew, they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army, the Bible says. Because now they had the breath of life in them as well as the bones had come together. So what happens to us as we hear the word of God? I'm not really sure. I'm getting an idea though. You know, because it says that God is going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Well, that's us as well as Israel. And he's going to write his word in our minds and on our hearts. It's different than the old covenant that he made with Moses, where it was a letter thing. You know, read the letter, hear the letter, work on the letter. And so the Jews could never really make it work, because it was more of their minds. But now God is writing the word. And is this not a way to do it? Is the word not being written inside of us, on our minds, and in our hearts?
I believe so.
Oh, yeah. And I'm watching the effect of it. So I'm saying that the message that works is getting people to hear the word of God. The message that doesn't work is when I interpret it with private interpretation and they don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I told somebody just recently, I said that most of what I have heard in my years as a churchgoer is the enticing words of men's wisdom. Mm. That's what I have heard. And I sit and listen to it, and I think, oh, my, is that ever good? You know what? I don't remember anything that was said. But I thought it was good. And I remember I was out fishing one time with Simon. And I said, you know, there's something wrong with what we're hearing here, I think. He said, well, you just have to learn to eat the fish and spit out the bones. I thought, you know what? You can only spit out so many bones, and you die from it.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
But anyways.
Mm. I was thinking about, you know, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And, you know, you could do a lot of a lot of damage with a sword. You know, it is an offensive weapon. You wave that thing around, it is an aggressive weapon.
Yeah.
And that kind of puts a different slant on the word of God. I don't know that we've used it as much of a warlike weapon, but that's what it is. We've kind of kept that sword in its sheath, but maybe we have ahead of us the time when we are going to use that sword for what swords are for.
And then there's the descriptor in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, and it says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder even the bone from the marrow, revealing the secrets that are in the heart. And
no, that's no ordinary sword, is it?
No, it's not. So if we let God speak the word through us, not our rendition of it or our private interpretation, but just speaking the word through us. You know, there's a scripture in the third chapter of John where John the Baptist says that he that God sends speaks the words of God. It doesn't mean much, but he's talking very basically about Jesus. I'll see if I can find it. It's John 3:34, I think. Yes. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives not the Spirit by measure unto him. We're talking about Jesus, of course. But does that not apply to us as well? If God sends us, don't we speak his words? Or aren't we supposed to? Instead of our own private interpretation? How many hours of private interpretation have I heard over the years?
You know, as we've been talking about these two scriptures about a two-edged sword, the power of a sword, the Spirit, you know, the Word of God is a sword, and then the other verse where the Word is more powerful than a two-edged sword. What was occurring to me is, as Strother's talking, if you use a sword and you're not properly trained with that, you can probably damage yourself or someone else unintentionally. Kind of like using a chainsaw. You don't know what you're doing, and all of a sudden, and so people often go out, but just, you know, believing that they're armed with the Word of God, and they throw it around like a sword, but they're actually not winning people to the Lord. What they're doing is, you know, driving them away.
Off with their head.
Off with their head. I just use it that thought as a check before you kind of go out and witness to someone, and you're just bringing the word, and you're just all wonderful, and it's a very high emotive situation, and you're going to point to them using scripture all the fallacies in their life. You got to ask yourself, are you using the Word of God with love, as the Word also commands us to do? Or are you just out there trying to fulfill your agenda?
I'm sure it's good.
I've done both.
Well, I think we have done. We've done both, not even being aware that that's what we're doing.
Came across that setting the scripture in 1 John this morning. you know, it says God was in Christ reconciling the world. That's in 2 Corinthians 5. And there's other places where I think it, you know, it points out that God was in Christ, or he had the fullness dwelling. Well, in 1 John 4, it was interesting because it says in 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time." Now, that gets, I think Jesus said that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Well, is that, if God's abiding you, he's in you, isn't he?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's showing us how to possibly be, see, Jesus, right from the beginning, loved the world, you know, and he was sent to save the world. And so he had the love that it's kind of talking about here, and so God abided in him, you know, fully. Mm-hmm. So if we can, you know, now I don't think you can manufacture that love. You have to ask for it, I think, or whatever. We can have God abiding in us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he isn't now, but I think more fully.
Fuller manner.
Yeah. So that was just kind of interesting. Mm-hmm.
You know, that starts out, no man has seen God at any time. And then it goes on to say what you're referring to.
Right.
I think that's the implication is that, no, nobody has seen God, but there is a reflection in his people. You know, we're to be manifesting him so that in a indirect sense that you do see God.
Yeah, because it's that's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
Well, you've seen me. You've seen the Father.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's implying the same thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have this love in us, then that's what they'll see him. You know, they'll see his effect or his being in us the same way as you could see it in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Not maybe as fully to start, but.
Yeah, amen. That's what he tells us to do anyway, you know. And whenever there is a commandment or an instruction, that's also a promise that it can happen.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah, I mean, John uses the, you know, this is the commandment you have received. He uses commandment a lot in John, First John.
Yeah.
And
right. You're not going to command you to do something that's impossible.
Right.
Yeah.
Says, if you love God, you won't sin.
Ouch. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to have the feeling, I got that one in the bag. You know, you really don't want that sense.
No.
Yeah. No, I'm good. No, I'm good. You know, you don't want that. That's just not good.
Well, that's kind of, he starts out that way in First Genesis. If you say you don't sin, you lie. You know?
Right. Don't sin, but if you say you don't, the truth does not abide in you.
Right. Even further in 4, chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. Right?
Yeah.
So,
it's a good gauge. You know? It's, and now, I, you know, a lot of times it says, love your brother, love your brethren, love your neighbor. So, if it's brethren and brother, is that people in the church? You know? Neighbor might not be. So it's kind of saying you should be able to love just about anybody if you're of God.
Yeah.
You know, well, they asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?"
Yeah.
And he gives the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritans were not neighbors.
Yeah.
Not an understanding view of things.
True. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and you think on it, so it makes sense. Because God loves everyone. God loves us all. The fact that we decide not to love someone that God loves, that's on us. That's a problem for us, not for God.
Right.
So if you're choosing to be different than God in this case because you don't love this person, but you know God does.
And you know, in a sense, I guess if you look at it, if God created it all, you shouldn't have a negative, you know, a side of it.
And here we are in 2020.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
We'll test you, right? Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, but I think related to that, someone that we all know, but I'll keep the name anonymous, had a conversation with me yesterday and said, I'm done. He used the word politics, but I think he was just saying the word in general. He said, I'm done with that. I'm just going to focus on God. And I was thinking, that exactly is the place we all need to get to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it does. The world is the world, and you know, as Jesus said, you're going to have these people with you throughout time. So
I'd like to know who this fine person was, Kurt. I know.
Okay. I had an idea. I think you might have said the same thing to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, I've been pondering this a lot, this whole situation we're in right now, and you know, it's like, I better not hate anyone, no matter what they're doing. BLM, Antifa, who, whatever, you know. I mean, there's some on both sides. And I keep thinking, so I want to get to the place where I'm not defensive if they encounter me, you know, which is a tough place, and I'm not there. Say, but I'm praying for it to happen, you know. And then I just look at them with the eyes of God, you know, with love.
Define love.
Well, that's a tough
one. Yeah.
There
you go.
It says here, love, wanting good to come to another person, being concerned and willing to work for another person's benefit.
Yeah.
Now, that's not what I consider love to be.
It's putting it right down to brass tacks.
An emotion, but really, what are we talking about when we talk about love?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's real easy to make love mean nothing when it's all just this vague stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are really wanting things to work out right
for
your enemy, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
those who have wronged you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's hard.
That's a hard one. Yeah. Yeah. Whenever you think you're there, go, yeah, I really want that person to do really, really well. It brings in all of the base natural emotions that we have.
Sometimes I think we have the wrong concept of what God means by love.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were talking here earlier in the week at the men's meeting about we should pray about what's going to be happening here in November. You know, pray for what our response should be. And I did that some this week. And to the extent that I thought I heard from the Lord some, that my roots in this world have to be real shallow.
Amen.
You know, you pull a weed, some of them come up just real easy, you know?
Okay.
Some of them, you know, they got the strong tap root that goes way down there, and oh, they're hard to get out of there. And my roots, I need to be pulled up out of the dirt of this world real easy. Just come right up, you know.
And not leave any left behind.
Yeah. And I better not have too much of a dog in the fight as far as whatever happens in November. You know, just, and, also the, you know, what should I be doing more particularly? And, I thought, I need to be tuned in, seek the Lord in connection with being tuned in to how I can be His servant. In that, when other people are going through the kinds of difficulties that could happen in November, I don't know that I got any special insight that things are going to be terrible in November. what I was hearing would have been just good advice generally, regardless of whether. be tuned in and friend. To whoever the, you know, we see as the enemy. Ken, you were sharing about, have to have God's mind toward Antifa or Black Lives Matter or whatever, you know, or whoever. They are, you know, they're in the image of God. Yeah, He created them, and they're in His image. And so... Now, sometimes that image is mighty distorted, but nonetheless, they're in His image, so.
Pray for them. They don't see the error of their ways.
Right.
Yeah. I'd say most people don't.
Hey, maybe my error, my ways are kind of in error, too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be too sure right. about where the error is.
Well, everyone's got their errors, yeah.
Yeah.
The evil that we do will stay with us. The good work that we do will come back to us.
Amen. That's right. Mm-hmm.
We just had psalms playing in the house, and that was one part where it's I don't remember where it is, but it was saying like, oh, take lightly or whatever to my enemies, for they hate me, or they whatever, unknowingly. I was just looking for that.
Yeah, if you want to have some conviction, you just read 1 John.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see where you stand.
How do you measure up to that? Yeah. I find myself wanting.
Yeah, I do too. That's a tough one. And there's other places that does the same thing. You know, it's.
Well, the Bible says that we know not how to pray as we should. And we ask for God's will to be done, and then we pray that ours will be done.
Right.
Yeah.
We prefer that ours will be done.
Yeah, right.
You'll never guess the change that's gone on between me and Justin in the last couple of weeks when I stopped praying, God softened His heart, and I just started praying whatever Your will is.
Yeah.
So... Yesterday, before me, Curtis, Justin, and Grace, who Justin is engaged now, sat at the game and had a great time.
Good.
So, I have an attorney. The legal side of it is going very well, but God is so in control. So, yeah. I sat and tried to find error with His ways to give to my attorney all of these things, and as I read through all of the past, I started seeing a lot of errors in my own. And it was a very cool experience for me. Mm-hmm. Judy telling me I didn't need to be the boss kind of helped. Yeah. She told me one day, you got to stop bossing God around.
She was on the money with that whole bossiness idea that she threw out there. I can vouch for that.
Yeah, I had to swallow that, but it was a good thing.
Well, that's kind of what you were alluding to I think we're all guilty of it, as Keith says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pray for God to help you in a situation, and you know what that help is, and then God answers that prayer, and it's nothing like what you thought it would be, and you go, I don't understand why God's forsaking me, and you have to realize, no, he did exactly what you wanted him to. Just that you weren't right in what you wanted.
Right. What I wanted was not quite. People all the time say, God's not answering my prayer. I did that one time and it didn't work.
I prayed one time and I didn't get $1 million.
Right.
Well, I think Glenn shared something. I'm assuming you were going to maybe talk about that this morning, but which I thought was really good on Tuesday along this lines, where you go through life thinking you have all these things you need. And then God will help you and let you know that you don't need these things, but these, you know, you need these needs, but you don't have these wants that you're trying to have.
Wants and needs.
Wants and needs. It is really.
And when he takes the wants away, you go, what?
Yeah.
It's funny, you were sharing there, Brittany, about really enjoying the process of being corrected by God.
Mm-hmm. I did it in a minute.
You know, when you think about it, who likes to be corrected? But I know exactly what you mean. There is something really wonderful about the attention of God pointing out to you how you've been mistaken.
I sat in, and it was such a moment for me that I sat in my bathtub, and I have a deep soaker tub, and I have my computer and my phone, and I'm making my memos for my attorney, and I started with a fire, and I thought, okay, you know, I've got this attorney, and everything's going to be good, and I went all the way back through messages with Justin, and I sat in the bathtub. I ended up letting the water out and sat in the bathtub for almost 3 hours, crying and going through things and praying and worshiping, and it turned a lot more into I need to adjust myself, that at the end of it, I had all of the information I needed for my attorney, and I typed up an apology to Justin instead. And I think that his response to me was, you're right, and I'm better now. That's all he said back, and it felt like a slap in the face in the moment, until him and Grace came up to me at the game yesterday, and then we talked, and we actually spent that time together, and it was not the animosity. I realized he wasn't working out of a place of hatred. It was a place of a broken heart, and I had been there, and God had to just show me that so much. And it was not a fun process. It hasn't been a fun process, and me swallowing the I'm not always right pill has not been easy. Or the letting go of control part has not been easy.
But I bet you're beginning to step into the, and he will make you free.
I, for once, in the midst of my chaos and crazy, I feel okay. I feel safe in the midst of the fire right now.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because my plans don't have to succeed. And I'm definitely not always right. And my plans, his plans are greater than those I have for myself. That is so accurate.
That's a super place right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's a godly place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. We see for the moment, but he knows the future.
Well, and I always pray, God, please do this in your will. I'm not saying but then I'm also over here with my own plans of how I'm going to make that happen, and I'm going to do this, and, well, I'll do this, and if this person doesn't do it, then I'll just do this. And how can I fix it, and how can I make them do things my way? And that's just never going to work, because then I'm saying one thing and doing a whole different thing. Mm-hmm.
And God does it as gently as he can.
Right. Well,
and sometimes it can't be gentle. It has to be a hit over the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at no point in the Bible does it say, I came against my enemies and I succeeded my way. Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, it says right here, you rebuked the nations, you destroyed their wicked, you blotted out their name forever.
That's talking to God.
Right, God, not me.
Yeah.
That's the next verse I found where I was listening to, and the next thing is where it's Psalms 9.
Yeah.
where it says, I'll praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart and tell of your marvelous works. And then the next part says, I will be glad and rejoice in you, and I will sing your name. And when my enemies turn back, they shall perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness.
There you go. I'd even go farther. Because it's actually, the Bible's pretty clear, and it says, if you don't trust in me, I will let your enemies overcome you.
Welcome to 2020.
Welcome to the entire Old Testament.
Yeah, but welcome to, what are we living right now? We're talking, I walked into you talking about November and your enemies. And everything right here is saying, I'm going to praise you, and you're going to take care of it. Oh, enemy, destructions are finished forever. You have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished. But God, or the Lord, will endure forever. So I don't know that November is a bad thing.
I guess my only comment to that is, I don't know if someone doesn't hold the same belief as I do, that makes them my enemy.
Right.
The only enemy I have is the devil.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the part that I said at home, was forgive my enemy for he, or for they, something unknowingly.
Wrestle not with flesh and blood.
Mm-hmm.
But we think we do.
I felt that way a long time. And I really developed an incapacity for understanding and forgiveness. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you
wrestle against flesh, you're not going to forgive it.
Right. I realized, and one thing that has been really hard for me, and this verse actually, or this piece of the Bible right before what I just read is really good for it, is I've said this whole time I forgave Justin for the things that he did to me. And Judy, actually, one other thing she told me is I needed to forgive him. And I thought, I forgave him. And then I realized I'm preparing a custody battle against him for the things he did to me. He threw me into a wall. He cracked my head open. He didn't do any of that to my kids, and I can't say I forgave him if I'm going to then also hold it against him. So against my attorney's advice, the domestic abuse between me and Justin will not be brought up in court. And I actually feel very strongly about it, especially in this, where it says, O Lord my God, in you I put my trust, save me from all those who persecuted me and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, which was happening to me. Render me in pieces, and while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, I have done this. If there is inequity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who was at peace with me, or I have plundered my enemy without cause, let my enemy pursue me and overtake me. Yes, let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in dust. Arise, O Lord, in anger. And then it continues to talk about what I had read.
Mm. Yeah, if everybody could see, just see the way I see.
Right.
I don't see clear enough yet. I'm sorry.
I was joking on that. If you could see everything my way, that'd be great.
Probably pretty blurry.
I'm glad people can't see my way.
I can remember years ago in a situation with our kids praying, Lord, got two choices here, either save him or remove him. And I prefer you remove him. But if you can save him, that would be wonderful too. That's how I prayed. Mm-hmm. God answered it, but he removed him.
That's what happened with my real dad.
So, but
my grandma said she
could. I still pray for his salvation, and I do to this day as long as he's alive. You know. But my flesh wanted him removed.
Sure. This was part of what I was, that I found or was comparing to, but this section here is kind of like where we're at a little bit here in our discussion. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I'll read the last verse too. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So part of our ministry is also helping others to be reconciled to God through his word.
That's a just excellent passage of scripture there, isn't it?
Yeah.
What God has done.
Don't be thinking of yourself because you didn't bring yourself to reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
God in Christ brought you.
Uh-huh.
And that's the same for anybody else. Mm-hmm. We can't judge them,
Mm-hmm. My viewpoint is so tiny in comparison with what God can see.
Yeah.
It starts out, all things have become new. Well, that is a new world. when you are his arm extended to be reconciliation between man and God,
it's making something new that's all tarnished and
mm-hmm.
dirty and whatever.
Yeah.
And this is what brings the newness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good new.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a word in that sentence that stands out. And we don't see it. We don't recognize it. But it says, behold. Behold. It means, take a look.
Yeah.
All things have become new.
Uh-huh.
See the word behold?
Yeah.
Behold.
Behold. Take a look at it. All things have become new.
Uh-huh. That is funny.
Yeah.
God did it here in front of you. Pay attention to it. It's not like you did it.
And most people today do not want to see, now all things are of God. No. We need, no, it's all of God. So look to him. He has a plan.
Yeah.
Someone once told me, I'm going to pray about it, but I'm not just going to sit there and say, okay, God, whatever you're going to do, whenever you're going to do it, okay, that's fine with me. And I thought, oh, Lord, have mercy on your soul. You know, I've had my son.
Is that my mom?
No. Your mom.
That sounds like that's a better end of the spectrum of things my mom would say.
I'll take my kids, and they came home from school the other day, and we were going to surprise them and go to the beach. And every one of them was, we didn't tell them what we were doing. We're going to, okay, let's just get in the car. And Caden was like, I was going to go play with Nick. And we're going to play wiffle ball, which is every day after school. And Emery wanted to check on Audrey. And Jasper wanted to watch a movie. And they all had these other things. And I thought, you guys, if you just get in the car, like I'm telling you, we're going to go to the most amazing beach you've ever seen. And we're going to have a great time. Why are you fighting me? And I thought, oh, Lord, why do I do that to you? Every day. I just want to do the same thing I do every day that I thought I would do right now. My way. And he's like, Brittany, come on. You don't even know this exists.
It seems like the hardest times we have are when we're trying to just do what we want and ignore what mm-hmm. God wants for us. Because when you take a step back and kind of think about it, it surprises you how many things aren't in your control. You know, it's like, you know what, all these little microaggressions and micro-movements are my control, but, like, the actual the road that you're walking is God's plan. And when you try to step outside those white lines on the side of the road, that's when you get the most pushback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good, here, Curtis. You know, I'm good enough at the holy talk to be able to say, oh, no, whatever happens, it's God's will, I'm willing to say those words, but in my heart, hey, there is a pretty darn good chunk of it that it's not according to my will, so I'm not real happy about it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a work in progress. It's a work in progress.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It's just a really cool thing to let go of that control. That's kind of fun.
Growing is a really cool thing. Growing is definitely a really cool thing. Mental growth, I think, throughout your lifetime is the most essential thing for human beings. And I say to my kids a lot that the worst thing that you can do is think that you know everything, because the second you do that, you stop learning.
Yeah.
Someone's never going to learn. I'm never going to learn anything if I think that I just know everything.
And the older you get, the more you know you don't know.
Right. Is that from memory loss? Or
right?
No.
Well, technology is these days moves so rapidly.
How much there is to learn.
I'm joking.
Yeah. No matter how great we think we are, we're just tiny little humans.
Mm-hmm. And yet he thinks we're pretty great.
Yeah, he made us the way we are.
Well, look at how we look at our kids. Mm-hmm. You know, really, they're tiny humans that can barely read and write. You know, you got to yell at them to bathe and brush their teeth. They don't know any skills, or they don't know a trade. They can't build you anything. They can't file taxes.
They take
like,
all your money.
They're pretty much useless, small humans. But to us, they're the most incredible thing, and we can never live without them.
Hmm.
And I grew up to be awesome people.
And man's the only creature that is made without instinct. All animals are born, birds are born with instinct. Because, you know, we have to learn it from the beginning on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I read kind of a good thing here a little while ago. I don't know if I can phrase it right, but it said, run toward the people who are seeking truth. Run away from the people who claim they have truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
is good.
The more unsteady I feel in me, the better I feel in God.
So that's a good thing for us to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
As, like, let people be seeking because we're seeking, not because we have it.
Yeah.
You know?
Something I'm newly struggling with is seeing people not seek God and not seek growth. And just be stagnant and okay with their lives. And now that, like, I've progressed through this journey, I want to reach out and help people and to show them, like, my growth and to hopefully inspire them. But it's definitely a mute point a lot, because some people, like, most people don't even, like, that's not on their agenda to change or to, like, try to better themselves. They're okay where they're at, and they don't want anything any different.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not okay where they're at either. They just sit there and complain.
Well, they're not looking for the growth or the change. They're just mad about
what
it, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a lot easier to complain about everybody than to actually try or to check yourself. I, for a really long time, was like, somebody fix Justin. Like, he's doing all this, and I really wasn't doing a lot better.
Hmm.
Let's be honest.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's so easy to pick faults of another person mm-hmm. and look at your own.
Yeah, what is that? The speck in your brother's eye and the log in your own? Yeah. Ooh.
Sliver in the plank.
Yeah. So that was what I saw in that bathtub was I'd pick in fault and with fault. And saying sorry sucked. But it was so worth it.
Well, it's a good thing to discover those things in this life.
Yes, that's right.
And not to wait till the end of it.
Yeah.
Because you have a chance to do something about it. I know when my kids would come to me and ask for advice, I'd say, well, I don't know. All I can tell you is pray about it and give it to God and don't take it back. Leave it there.
Yeah, all right.
That's
a hard
one. It is hard
that
to do.
I can give for advice. Yeah. You know? Don't take it back. Just leave it.
I blush to think of all the things I've taken back.
Mm-hmm.
Give them to God and then.
Well,
right. I'm going to give it to God, but I'm going to still do all of these things.
I'm going to worry about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And figure out a different way to handle it.
Yeah.
I give it to God, but I handle most of it.
Yeah. Right.
Because I can do better than
God. Stop.
I'm going to give it to God, but I still got to figure it out. That's what I, yeah.
If you're worried about something and you have
I'm sitting here going, God, your spirit's just pointing all these things out.
How uncomfortable, huh?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Ooh,
it probably is for me, but I don't think it's only for me. It seems like everybody's sitting here and realizing these things, and that's the Holy Spirit.
I think I felt the worst sitting there, and he said that I looked awful, and it was really hard to see me, and I felt and looked like a zombie. It was a couple of days. I was like, whew. Crying, how uncomfortable, but you got to go through that uncomfortable pressure and let go of that.
Yeah.
That was so important. And I think in those days, I felt the worst in my flesh, and I felt the best. I felt like I was growing. Yeah. It was a really cool, weird, horrible, amazing experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. My own outlook had to be completely different.
I was just thinking on something you mentioned, Justin. You see people. And Jesus said, Father, I have kept those you have given me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So if there's somebody he wants reached by you, he'll give them to you.
I'm Curtis. Yeah, I'm confused with definitely less handsome guy. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's like the hard part because, you know, I'm not sitting like high and mighty, like thinking that I'm better than them. And that's why I'm trying to help them. It's just that, like, I care about people.
It's defeating.
I want to, like give them the same thing that I received and, like, not being able to help them and stuff. It's like, man.
But I should.
That sucks.
We should just be doing that, though, because we don't know whose heart he sees.
Right.
So you can't. I kind of was saying, well, you should allow God to just bring it. But no, it says we're supposed to witness whether we know or not, more or less.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he, either way, he's talking specifically about his children's mother.
Well,
in those, your mom and your sister and your family and that stuff.
There's quite a few people that all could definitely
be. We need to pray that the Lord will open their hearts and their minds to receive what he has. And if it is you to do the work, that you'll be ready to do it.
Right. I had to stop praying that God would make Justin. I prayed all the time, soften Justin's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I was not seeing Justin's heart. I was seeing Justin's actions towards me, and Justin definitely was, when we split up, he tried very hard to get back with me, not with the kids, he was that. I didn't see it. I didn't see it in any way that he tried very hard. I just saw he didn't try for the kids, because because I was done, so I didn't care what he was doing. And that was very hard. And then now it's been 5 years of actions of being a horrible father because he ran away from me because I broke his heart. And it's really hard to be around somebody who broke your heart, no matter what. So I stopped praying, softened his heart, and started just seeing he's trying to be a dad with this lion around him all the time, which would suck anyway. So I stopped praying that God would touch him and started praying that I would see him the way that God did. And I would see my own ways, and at no point in there until I was willing to acknowledge what I did and I gave it to him and I said, I'm sorry. And I acknowledged that the pieces that were broken come back together. Because otherwise I still had no intention of letting it be God's way or seeing it God's way or loving him the way God did. And I couldn't do any good for him because it still was, I'm going to fight, or he did this to me, or some kind of animosity, rather than just letting that be okay.
Yeah.
Change me, Lord. Don't shut me down so much. Change me.
Yeah, give me your eye to see the way that things are, not mine. Because from my perspective, it's not good.
I have to leave early.
Have a good day.
Yeah, no matter how old you get, you've got to change.
Yeah, and this is the way it's supposed to be. You know, we're supposed to admit our own failings and faults and stuff. And
doesn't get any easier either.
How that scripture? It says, I can think of the scripture, but I can't remember where it's at. Anyway, I'll think of it later on.
Yeah.
It's on the scripture, I'll tell you where it's at. Not me, but my iPhone.
There you go.
Pastor Google?
Curtis, you said something that's been kind of weighing on me here. We don't want other people to get what we got. We want other people to get God, what God wants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when I heard you speak, what I heard you do was you say, they need to get what I got. And no, they need to get
what I got. I understand what you're saying. Yep.
Yeah. So all I'm trying to do is take the I. I mean, we all want everybody to be in a better place with God.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem we have is we make mistakes as, oh, this happened to me, so therefore I know what God needs to do there. And you repeat the same problem, but from a different way.
Right. No, I understand.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think really that was just poor
wording.
Poor wording on my behalf.
And that is kind of the thing that people who have had new experiences or maybe been baptized or maybe see God in a different way, they have a zeal and a zest, and they go out there and they go, I got this and I want you to have it because I love you. And they know exactly what it is. And in fact, they don't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
They just know that what's happened to them is wonderful, and they want that same wonderful thing to happen to the people they care about.
Yep.
And the mistake that we make is we think we know what God wants for them. And it's a different way of saying, I know what God's going to do. You know, if he doesn't do it this way, he's doing it wrong. And and we're all guilty of that.
I guess I just want those people to accept the Lord into their life, and what happens after that is
God's
business, yeah. But I just want to draw them from the darkness and show them that the light exists, because so many people that live in the darkness, they don't know, and they don't, how many people are not, don't believe in God or don't believe in Jesus, or will just say, like, I don't believe in God, but I believe that there's something, you know.
Or won't like, try.
Or won't try. They're.
But how do we know? We don't know what's going on.
Well, his, one specific, and I would say the girl's mom, he talked to her about it and said, like, she said she's hating life and all of that. Her father committed suicide a long time ago, and that's one thing that scares me, and it's something that I pray over all the time, is that spirit, that heaviness. And so he said, well, right, so let's pray about it. And she said, well, I've prayed, and it got me nowhere. I'm not going to do that, blah, blah, blah. His sister referred to us as religious retards, those kinds of things. So that piece of it, and so he said to her, you're not... What?
Those are demons.
Right, absolutely. And so that's where, and him and I even had a conversation at one point, and before he went through his own deliverance, and I said, Curtis, like, you need a deliverance, or you whatever, we can pray about it. And he said one time to me, I can't just fix this overnight, and I have to work on me, and blah, 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 and God's not just going to fix it for me, and whatever. And it was so wrong, and such a wrong thing, and I was ready for him to go through that. He wasn't ready. It took a very long time for that piece of it. And I think that's a really, really, really hard thing, especially when you've got this fire going inside of you where you can see how demonic things are and how demons can... I told him, how many times did I tell you, let's pray about it? And a demon said to you, this is just who you are and she obviously hates you. Because I've had that. I've thought that about my grandpa. You guys, let's pray for deliverance for me as a little kid or as, you know, young. And I thought, this is who I am. They all just don't like me.
So, should have been a little bit of both.
So probably. Who is God working on in that situation?
Right, me.
That's right.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because...
But also working
know,
on...
You
right.
Know, you know, when he's not doing what you know, I don't really care what God's going to do. I don't care if God's timetable is. I don't care if God...
Right, I had to change that, right.
Who has a problem?
Right. Well, in both of us, but God was doing his work on Curtis, and that just had to continue, and it was hard for me.
I would have been so happy if you had said... God showed me the demon in me while I was able to see the demon first, but you didn't say that.
Well, that's what had to happen. So that's my thing before, is I've had to change the last few months. Right, I had to report myself.
I'm going back to what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
We're trying to study the ark. God gives us some revelation or insight. Mm-hmm. He does. But it's so easy to say, wow, God showed me that you've got this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's like, and I don't know why he's not doing it, because I know what needs to be done.
Right.
And I go, well, you wouldn't have known anything if God hadn't showed you. And again, you're trying to take over God's business.
Yeah, so I had to throw my hands in the air and all of that. And when he was ready, he went through that. And I just kept telling, praying. And when God was ready, then something happened.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the bathroom, probably.
You want me to put check?
It's all right.
You got the energy? You got the energy?
Chuck's
even gone
Chuck's
for one of
us. Just washing his hands.
This is about when he goes to the bathroom about this time.
Yeah.
He's good for 50 minutes. You start stretching him to 60, and you start breaking him.
Right.
You know, I'll get calls and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and I'll say, okay, find the demons until God's ready to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Find them.
Mm-hmm.
But realize that you're a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Say, Charlotte, did anything good come for Jasmine?
She hasn't heard results from her test for COVID, but she's feeling better. And the other friend of a friend who had been tested that started the whole thing, she was also negative too.
Good.
But she's excited about the Bible. It got there okay, so she's excited about that.
Because I felt like a positive thing in
mm-hmm.
prayer. Not just mine. But,
yeah.
You know.
She's
almost justifying everything.
She's saying
we're afraid.
Yeah, she's saying more positive things. And, I just feel like there's a work that's being done. That's what we
Glory.
Do for. Mm-hmm. Pray for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
We're talking about.
I just got here.